when you're running those obsessive compulsive patterns, worrying about the future and planning different scenarios, well, if this happens, I'll do that, you are activating your nervous system. So in your attempt to get to a feeling of safety, the very action of what you're doing to get there is taking you away from it.
Yeah.
This is In Therapy with Alex Howard, a first of its kind series that places you directly in the therapy room. My name is Alex Howard, and it is my hope that by bringing you on the journey with us, you too can learn the tools to transform your life. This series, we're following Haley, whose traumatic upbringing has resulted in severe depression and anxiety, as well as debilitating obsessive compulsive disorder. Haley has come to In Therapy because she's decided enough is enough and wants to live the rest of her life free from the constraints of the past.
A really key part of where you're at right now is letting yourself feel your goodness.
It feels horrible talking about this, sorry. It just feels really arrogant.
You can be proud of yourself without being arrogant. It's just letting yourself feel your accomplishments.
It's going to take some work. It's really entrenched.
Join us each week as we follow every step of Haley's journey, both in and outside of the therapy room. As well as the tools I give Haley in the sessions, I'll also be sharing weekly top tips so you can begin to unlock your true potential. This is In Therapy. It's the day of Haley's fourth session. And just 24 hours before, Haley was carrying the Commonwealth baton to the top of a mountain in the Peak District. More on this later. Oliver and Jeremiah check in with Haley before the session starts.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
You're going to have to do something like different each time. Like, so I'm having new clothes on or something. Sorry.
I mean, if that's the way you want to go, you can totally do that.
Sorry, I do need to do that again without saying that.
No, you're fine.
It's just, you really like doing, sorry, I'm really tired for calling.
Are you? I'm not surprised. Come and sit down.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? You must be knackered after yesterday. Climbing up a big hill.
It's, was I here last week or was that 2 weeks ago? It was last week.
You were here last week, yeah.
It's, I'm completely wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
When I try and do normal life, it's when the OCD kicks in. And so most stuff that people cope with, this is where I fall down, you know.
Right.
And it's just really normal stuff and most people deal with it. But the more stuff that gets put on me, the more my OCD rituals get ramped up.
Sure.
So,
I mean, to be fair though, I mean, you're coming a long way for anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you're coming all the way that you do each week is a lot for anyone,
yeah.
You know, regardless of someone with those kind of tendencies as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it was so ironic because I'm not kidding. My calendar all year is always empty.
Right.
It's always empty. And it was just like the universe went, ha ha, get this.
Everything at once.
And the most unbelievable things, loads of bad things, a couple of good things, but like I've got like one of the watches that tells you how much you sleep, and last night was 23 minutes. So honestly, I'm like, I can, like you say, you can do it for a little while, and then, but yesterday was unusual and the day before, and so it's I'm taking so much from coming here and it's really important to me, but I've kind of like, my anxiety's gone the wrong way, but I'm getting a load of skills and tips and things to use that I can when everything calms down. So it's so beneficial, but I'm really struggling at the moment. It's gone worse than I've probably been for 10 years, to be honest.
Wow.
So it's okay. I'm learning loads of stuff, but I feel really sick.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully, you know,
you
can take it easy a little bit.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you.
Well, Hayley, it's very nice to see you. We were just talking before we started properly. You were telling me about yesterday. I'm really, because I didn't get a chance to ask you. You mentioned that you got the invitation to carry the Olympic torch because of some of the charitable work you've done. And one of the things you were saying about was when you ran the marathons after the Hallstatt, there wasn't really a moment of really just letting yourself acknowledge what you'd done. And I'd love to hear why you got invited of the, whatever it is, 60 million people in this country. What was it you got invited for?
It was to carry the Commonwealth baton. It's funny talking about it, isn't it? Because it's like everybody thinks you're like, oh, look at you, who do you think you are? Do you know what I mean? It's quite uncomfortable.
Or maybe your inner critic thinks they're thinking that, because that's not what I'm thinking. I'm genuinely interested.
Thank you. Yeah. I can't remember what I got it for now. Hang on. I'm very tired.
I know,
you're saying
you've had very little sleep.
I'm so tired.
So it was for some of the charitable work that you've done.
Yeah. I volunteer with like some mental health charities, so a group of different ones, and just help out when I can. Mm-hmm. And so I got it for that.
Yes.
And I also got it for running. I got a British Heart Foundation Inspirational Heart Hero Award for inspiring people for running marathons after heart attacks and doing a lot of heart research into rare heart attacks. Mm. So I got it for mental health and heart research and raising some money and running marathons and doing voluntary work and helping people with money and mental health problems as well, and like going into Westminster and with all the service providers and just saying stuff people can do. Service providers can do to help people struggle with money. No idea if it makes any sense. I'm slurring my words.
Makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much you were saying that you tried to take a moment at the top to actually just let some of that sink in. And I'm wondering how that actually felt.
Yeah. I can see a mental shift in my mind, because at no point in my life would I have ever thought I deserved that moment. So since starting this therapy, there's been a mental shift, massive, because I would have not ever thought I had the audacity to tell people to back away on a moment. So it's extraordinary, really, that I took that. So that's since coming here that I thought I need this moment and I've earned this moment. So it's a massive shift. So I just said to like all the guys, you'll have to wait, you know. I've climbed up this mountain and it was really hot. It was really hot and it was really heavy.
Because it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was the hottest day in the history of the United Kingdom. And there's you running up a hill with a bad knee.
And it was really heavy.
And you were saying that your husband was almost passing out and he wasn't carrying the torch.
He was behind and he really went faint and had to drop back. He went really pale and the mountain rescue crew had to help him. Because I was going up that fast thinking, I took a moment to redress the balance of the disappointment that I felt when I crossed the... Feels horrible talking about this, sorry. It just feels really arrogant. It's like...
I want to make a separation between what that critical voice in your head is saying and what's actually happening, right? So... that voice in your mind is telling you, how dare you celebrate your success, you're showing off, you're this, you're that. So that's what it thinks is happening. But I'm asking you questions because I really want to know. And I think what you've done, because you were running up a literal mountain, but there's also the reason why you were given that invitation is because of the metaphorical mountains that you run up.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to be celebrated. And I think that's something to actually be proud of.
Yeah.
And you can be proud of yourself without being arrogant.
Yeah.
You can be proud of yourself without being narcissistic. You can be proud of yourself without showing off. It's just letting yourself feel your accomplishments.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's also interesting as we talk about it, that how easy it is for us to focus on the negative about ourselves. Or how easy it is for our mind to go to a place of self-judgment and self-criticism. And There's a part of our brain called our reticular activating system, and its job is to build habit and pattern. Mm. And that's why, you know, you get a new car and then you see that same car everywhere, yeah. You know, or you decide that you're going to go on holiday to a particular place and then you suddenly start hearing people mention that place because your brain is looking for the things that it's trained to look for. If what we're trained to look for is any moment that we're celebrating a success and attacking ourselves, or any moment that we might be actually allowing ourselves to embody our sense of self-worth, we're attacking ourselves. That's that part of your brain which has habituated to doing that. And going back to what we talked about a bit last time around neuroplasticity and remembering that you can retrain those parts of your mind.
Mm.
And so I just want to remind you that when you're allowing yourself to feel a sense of pride or allowing yourself to feel a sense of self-worth, that when that pattern comes in, that's a great one to catch and to work with in the way that we've been talking about. Mm. So you're retraining that part of your mind that every time that you feel a bit bigger or you kind of put yourself forward, it tries to make you feel small again, that you really let yourself be your greatest potential.
Mm.
Hayley and I go on to discuss how she's been getting on using the tools. She explains that she's been using the stop process, practicing meditation, and become more aware of how she's feeling. However, the combination of traveling down for the sessions each week, an increasingly negative prognosis about her knee, as well as her mother's upcoming surgery, has sent Hayley's OCD and anxiety spiraling. And she is now at risk of reverting to old, maladaptive coping mechanisms.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about last time was being aware of that pattern of constantly going into the future and worrying about the future,
yeah,
and planning different scenarios. Well, if this, yeah, happens, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And really trying to stop that happen, yeah, and just be more calm and present to yourself and your body right now.
Yeah.
How has that been?
To go into the future, I am aware of that and I do keep trying. The trouble is, it's to go into the future feels so much more protective for me because if I've anticipated, it's reducing the likelihood of stuff going wrong.
Well, that's the belief, right? That if I plan it and I think about it and I go around on it, then I'll be safe. The problem is, when you're running those obsessive compulsive patterns, you are activating your nervous system.
Yeah.
So in your attempt to get to a feeling of safety,
yeah,
the very action of what you're doing to get there,
yeah,
is taking you away from it.
Yeah, I can push myself to a derealized, depersonalized, yeah, status,
yeah,
in a split second.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
And then in that place, the real challenge is the belief will be, I need to fulfill these criteria to be safe.
Yeah.
And the point that I'm making is you don't.
Yeah.
You may believe you do because that's the habit and that's the way you've wired, yeah, your nervous system up until that point.
Yeah.
But the feeling of safety doesn't come from all of those things.
Yeah.
It comes from slowing things down and building, yeah, that sense of connection, yeah, to and safety in yourself.
Yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Yeah. I'm making excuses, but I'm not making excuses, but I am telling the truth.
Yeah.
My calendar now is not going to put me in a position where I can do that at the moment, because of my mum's got surgery and all the things I've got just in the next. But I totally...
Do you know what? So I hear that. It's much more challenging.
Yeah.
And it's often in the situations that things are most challenging.
Yeah.
There's the greatest opportunity, yeah, to grow and to find different, yeah, ways of doing things.
Absolutely. Because I thought that yesterday, because I thought this is pushing me into such a wired state that it's really good to be at this activated level because I can see it working.
Yeah.
And so I did reframe how I was viewing my stress yesterday. I thought, I can't do this. I can't hold this together. And it was really...
But you
thought, did. Yeah. And I thought, if I reframe it and say, this is really good to be in this heightened state, because then I know, you know... Yeah, it does make sense. I know I'm overtired, but
everything's making sense.
Yeah, and so in the recognition of this, and particularly in the coming kind of weeks as you're working this and you have these different challenges that you know are coming up, the goal is when you feel the impulse towards the OCD tendencies, that rather than to use those strategies to get to the feeling of safety, instead you're using the kind of highway to safety or the kind of the fast track to safety, which is actually slowing things down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? So let's take an example. Let's say your mum's having a surgery and it's the day before or the day of, and you can feel yourself going into those patterns. And rather than going on the path of those patterns, instead you go, oh, I had that conversation with Alex where he kept banging on about, and the fast track to safety is to slow things down. If you remember that,
yeah,
what do you think would happen?
It's weird because as soon as I found out she was going into surgery, I said, I went through that thing where you'd said, rehearsing something in your brain doesn't know the difference between it actually happening or rehearsal, and it's using the same pathways. Yeah. And so straight away I thought, my worrying about this is not going to affect an outcome. There's no point me projecting into the future. I'll stay right in the moment and I won't even think about it. And so it really helped because I didn't ruminate over it. So that's, I haven't even thought about her operation until I just sat here. So it's worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Rather than using maladaptive, future-looking coping mechanisms, remember that the fast track to safety is to slow things down. There is an inner sense of safety and holding which is available to all of us right now in this moment. The thing that stops us from being in touch with that is our triggers from the past. It's our past traumas getting triggered now that create that maladaptive response in our system. So if we can learn to self-regulate our nervous system, if we can learn to calm our system and to heal those traumas of the past, we're able to truly be in a healing state. Being in a healing state means not just that our emotional healing can then happen, but also it often has an impact on our physical healing. If you want to find out more about what exactly causes a maladaptive stress response, if you want to understand the reset framework of how to learn to reset your nervous system, I have a 12-week online coaching program, which is the best of what I know of how to learn to do that. And to find out more about that, you can sign up for a free 3-part video series where I'll walk you through what we've just talked about in a lot more detail, but also with the science behind it as well. So you can sign up for that free 3-part video series at reset.alexhoward.com. Okay, back to the episode.
What else have you got that's coming up in the, you're saying that in terms of schedule and things that are happening, what else is coming up that's gonna be a push for you?
I've just got to think. Because I've been doing day, I don't even look at the next day.
week. Yeah.
But it isn't really, it's nothing major. It's just the logistics of, I love coming here. It's amazing. It's really helping. But in how my schedule is, it's hard work. It's really hard. Yeah, because all my OCD rituals go mad, and it's like takes about 5 hours with the caravan, and then we have to go back for my dad's birthday, and then we come back again, and then we go back again, and I'm really up for it, and I'm not moaning about it. It's a privilege, but it's
a demand. Yeah,
it's really like, because the calendar was clear when I started, and now it's like, where did all this come from? You know, do you know what I mean?
How did this life happen?
Yeah.
Talk me through some of the rituals of what you historically have had to do in those situations. So if you're leaving to come down here, what would be those things?
It's kind of, I don't even know if they are rituals really, but it's unpacking and packing the caravan and stuff like that. Probably not even rituals. I can't access it at the moment. Everything's going, oh, I wonder if that's something protective inside me because you're going to poke.
Me? Ooh. Poke? What makes you say that?
No, because something inside me went, oh, don't go there. I think that's very interesting, isn't it?
So that place that says don't go there,
yeah,
is that partly a place of you which is afraid that we're going to try and challenge it?
No,
or take away the rituals?
No. Okay. I think it's because I feel quite happy sat here, and that hurts and stresses me. It's because I'm so tired. It's like, don't hurt and stress yourself right now because you're okay. You're talking about it, but I'm not feeling it. Whereas if I go into that, I'll feel it and it'll ramp me up. And I'm kind of like just too tired to hold it at the moment.
There's a part of you that's like, right now, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, just from utter exhaustion.
So let me ask you a question. I hear that as a really healthy setting of a boundary, right? And one of the things I talked to you about a few sessions ago is we all have three core emotional needs: the need for boundaries, the need for safety, and the need for love. And there's a clear place in you that's saying, I don't want you to dig right now because I don't have the resources to go into that and also deal with the activation that may come in the hours and days afterwards.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what does it feel like to really honour that boundary?
I feel a little bit annoyed with myself that I haven't been ballsy enough to face it.
So your inner critic has a story of, if you're not going into your stuff all of the time, then you're being lazy or weak or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? But let me ask you another question. If you were going into that stuff and you were feeling some of the emotion around that, am I right your inner critic would also judge you for that?
I don't know.
Because the point that I'm making is, with our inner critic, you're fucked if you do and you're fucked if you don't.
Yeah, my inner critic, whatever I do.
It's going to judge you for not going there. It's going to judge you for going there.
Yeah.
It's going to judge you for going there the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's going to judge you for not going there quickly enough. It's going to judge you for going there too slowly. So if we can just name it as your inner critic.
Yeah, he would, whatever I do. If I did something perfect, and whatever I do, even if it's really good, I'll bash it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or your inner critic will bash it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to summarize a bit, there's a place in you which is like, no. I'm not going to go there right now.
Yeah.
Which I think is a healthy place, not an unhealthy place.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have an inner resistance that comes up, and my recognition is that it's a defensive place we need to understand and work with a view to actually moving beyond that defensiveness.
Yeah.
And other times, the defensiveness is a clean and pure, I need a boundary here.
Yeah.
So we've got the boundary, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
Then we've got your inner critic, which is judging you and attacking you for having the boundary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would it be like if that place in you turned towards your inner critic, which right now is saying you're being lazy or you're being weak or you're being this or being that, and said to your inner critic, stop.
Yeah.
Or even said to your inner critic, fuck off.
Yeah.
How would that be?
Right, so my inner critic would be like, if you don't keep a check on things, you'd be like inappropriate or big-headed or...
Yeah, so it goes back to what we said at the start, right? Which is that this story of your inner critic, that if you in any moment celebrate yourself or your accomplishments, that means you're being big-headed, or that means that you're showing off, or... But I'm not sure that's true.
I do know where it comes from as well, though. It's just like everything I did was wrong.
Right.
And stuff I didn't do was also wrong, and everything I ever did was wrong.
Even and even if you did it right,
straight A's,
you did it wrong.
Straight A's.
Yeah.
We're wrong. Special awards. It was nobody was interested in it. Yeah.
The freedom with your inner critic comes from the awareness of what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can see it, you don't have to.
That dropped.
See it.
That dropped. We've got a light bulb.
All right. We got a light one.
She's still home.
Because if you can name it, if you can go, that's not actually true, that's my inner critic beating me up.
Okay.
Then rather than trying to
justify your self-existence and apologize your inner critic, you're telling it to back off.
Yeah. Okay.
How does it feel to just, you know, in this moment, to let yourself have your accomplishments?
Yeah. It's going to take some work. It's really entrenched. It's really entrenched.
Yeah. I think your real opportunity over the next few days and the next week or two is there is this growing awareness around these patterns. The anxiety patterns, like the worrying about the future, and it sounds like you've made already some really good progress with that, like not letting yourself worry excessively about your knee and not worrying about your parents so much. We've today been talking more about this inner critic piece.
Okay.
And it's then being aware of that.
Yeah.
That if every time you have a moment of expansion and success, and the result of that is you attack yourself and beat yourself and collapse back down again, then it makes it really hard to embody and own your value and your self-worth. But if what's happening is that you have a moment of expansion and then you start to attack yourself, but then you defend yourself and you allow the expansion to happen more, then we're really changing that pattern.
Okay.
We're not just changing it as an idea,
yeah,
but we're changing it in actually your lived experience of allowing yourself to celebrate yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you need from you over the next week? Given that you know that you're physically and emotionally drained, you've got your dad's birthday coming up, how can you best take care of yourself?
Yeah, it is sleep, isn't it? It's sleep. It's absolutely fundamental. Every time I get an anxious thought about my knee, is to stop it, isn't it? Stop. Because it's not going to change anything. It's just going to ramp me up. So stop worrying about the knee. Stop worrying about mum's operation. Stay in the moment. Day. Sleep. And watch the inner critic. Just say, do you know what? You did okay.
Yeah. I'd like you to keep going with reset, to go through modules. You always skip module 8 for the time being, but if you want to watch it, you can do, but to go particularly to module 9 on the inner critic, because I think just giving more awareness around this is going to be helpful. But I think a really key part of where you're at right now is letting yourself feel your goodness.
Okay.
Letting yourself feel your potential.
Okay.
You know, letting yourself feel your deserving of good things.
Okay.
The way to do that is when you start to feel a bit of that, like some of the pride that you were describing in terms of yesterday, knowing your inner critic's going to come in, but batting it back away again so you can allow yourself to fill that space.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's interesting me to miss that number 8 because everything went, no, that's not perfect. So I got really stressed when you said miss that number 8, which is like, what's going on?
Well, you can go to modulate, it's fine, but we may just come back to it another time.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes people need different things at
different
points.
Yeah, so you want me to miss that number 8? I've gone all sweaty. Alex, no.
That's just the fact it's 30 degrees in the studio. Yeah.
No, I mean, it will be good to miss out number 8 because it'll wind me up, which will be good because I'll deal with it.
Yeah. We will probably come back to module 8 and you're welcome to watch module 8 if you really want to.
No, I'm doing
module
8
rubbish anyway. But.
Is it? I like number 7 and 8 actually. I do like the psychological theories and stuff.
Yeah, the psychoeducation.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're turning those into practice as well.
Yeah, which I don't is like why... that bit. Just the psycho bit.
But I think you are doing the practice. The fact you're doing meditation every day, the fact you're using the stock process consistently, we're going to come into particularly this defending against your inner critic. And I think that's going to be really impactful and important as well. So to summarize, here are the things that are really important. Okay. Keep going what you're doing. Keep going with the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Keep working with the stop process, particularly around the bits that we're talking about.
Yep.
And to add to that, working with your inner critic. You can do that in two ways. You can use your stop process, But there are also some other ways of working it that you'll come to in the module as well.
Okay.
The real goal of what we're trying to do at this point is we want to allow, to support you in celebrating your goodness.
Okay.
What that may be like energetically is you feel a little bit of pride around something, inner critic comes in, and then you start to feel smaller again.
Okay.
When that inner critic comes in and you start to feel smaller, we want a defense against that so you can start to feel bigger again.
Okay.
It's about allowing yourself to have your bigness and your goodness and your self-worth and your self-love and the things that particularly your inner critic and particularly the anxiety patterns that tend to belittle you and make you feel smaller, it's having the defense against those so you can really start to feel your self-worth and feel your value.
Okay, yeah.
I think I said to you a while ago, we teach people how to treat us.
Yeah.
By the actions and the ways that what we do and don't let them say yeah. and do. But the same is true with our inner critic. We teach it how to treat us. So if we just let it mercilessly attack us and judge us and beat up on us, that just becomes the norm. But if you stand up to it and if you change that dynamic and you allow yourself to celebrate and have your goodness, you teach it a new way of being. And that's okay. ultimately what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it.
Good. I get that you get it.
You get it. Yeah.
Any final questions?
No, so we just put a one-liner email. Yeah, thank you. Just an apology. I'm sorry if I didn't articulate anything. I'm that shattered. I'm like...
You made remarkable sense for someone that's had 23 minutes sleep.
Yeah. I was quite pleased with that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Hayley, I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
In life, we create and attract more of what we are focusing on. One of the challenges when we've experienced trauma is that we learn to focus on what is wrong about ourselves and the world around us. And as a result, we create and attract more of what we don't want. This also means that we habitually ignore not only our inherent sense of goodness, but also our achievements and accomplishments in life. By shifting our focus to celebrate and embody the best of ourselves, we're learning to invite more of this into our lives. Continue to follow Hayley's journey over the coming weeks as we release weekly episodes of her sessions with me. To help support you in coming on the journey with us, I've created some materials to accompany the series. Each week, there is a bonus video with me and worksheet to bring the session to life for you. In this week's reflections, you will find a meditation to help you contact your inner goodness, along with an exercise to help invite more of it in your life. You can find these resources for free at intherapy.alexhoward.com. Here's what's coming up next week.
The module on the inner critic is cracked everything open.
If I'm being really blunt, what I think is happening is, I think there's anger, but I think you're turning it against yourself.
Yeah.
You have been traumatized by a dynamic, and then you have been, in a sense, pulled into an ongoing way of relating, which is fundamentally unhealthy.
I've cried too many tears. I'm not going back. I've been through too much.
In Therapy with Alex Howard is produced by Jeremiah Fernandez, Alex Howard himself, and me, Oliver Halls. For more information, visit alexhoward.com.